This is Talking in Stations, a podcast about EVE Online. I am back, and I am Artemis Albosa, a member of Noir, who happens to also be a member of the Wrecking Crew. Joining me today on the show, my faithful co-host, Silver Suspiria, member of Federation Uprising.
Hey, Artemis, it's good to have you back. Missed you, buddy.
It's good to be back, man. I have missed doing this podcast. My Wednesday nights have been, well, busy with work, but definitely missing that thing at their core. Well, you know what? Let's not bury the lead here. Let's discuss our fantastic guest on the show today. I may be a bit biased, but our guest today is The Last Spartan, a member of Templis Calcif, who are also members of Wrecking Crew. How you doing, Spartan?
I'm good. Glad to be here.
And we are glad to have you, especially because we're starting off a bit of a series here on the Midweek Report. We're going to have the next few episodes, maybe three, maybe four, maybe more, where we're looking into what does LoSiC look like in 2020. LoSiC has been a hot topic of discussion for a while, especially around Team Talos and Vegas when all the things came out, how CCP were looking to change up LoSiC and Faction Warfare, but it never quite made it up into that priority list. Well, LoSiC has changed, partly because of the developers, partly because of some major shakeups in the alliances and other organizations who are roaming around that space. And so we want to take a look at who are the people active there, what are they doing, what does LoSiC look like in 2020? And to kick that off, we have longtime LoSiC dwellers, and certainly an influential group both in LoSiC and NullSiC in the past and present, Templis Calcif, and therefore Wrecking Crew. So Spartan, let's kick things off here and talk about Templis Calcif, the group you are from. How are you related to them? What's your title, if you have one, so to speak? And then give our viewers who may be unfamiliar a bit of an introduction to your group.
I came to Templis Calcif, I want to say 5.5 years ago. Since then, I became the head FC, head FC for Cowmill for 2 to 3 years before we left. We formerly lived in Black Rise before we moved down to Derelict over by Great Wildlands.
Yeah, I remember when you guys moved down to Great Wildlands. It was a fun time seeing your Helas fleets roaming around. Got to see some old Noir bros roaming around Great Wildlands as well. That was fun.
You know, of course, the Spartans' Gilas are famously known as Spartans' Magic Gilas, since they seem to be able to tank everything.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun fights when we moved down. Ebola, and I forget exactly what their name was, but I think it was abbreviated POD, tried to evict us right off the beginning there. Got to fight Nightmares and Ferax fleets and stuff with Helas, which was always fun.
Yeah, but that is a bit further in the past. Let's bring it up to the present. What's going on now?
Currently, we're still staging out Derelict with Wrecking Crew. Mostly fighting Providence and their Provi block in Providence. There were a couple of Tappy corps that decided to move into LoSiC next to us that we've been fighting over a handful of systems. Up in Black Rise, we've also been in contact with a couple of the groups that live there, such as Red vs. Blue and even Panian Dominion, I believe the name is, working with them against Rapid Withdrawal and the other alliances that live up there, the lower courts.
For the record, and for anyone unfamiliar with EVE geography, Derelict is sort of like on the bottom right-hand corner of the map. It's southeast, and then Black Rise is up on the top left, like completely on the other side of Empire space. So I gotta add, like, you guys jump cloning, you just making very good use of travel scepters. Like, how does that work that you're deployed on both sides of the map at the same time?
We stage some ships up in one of the systems up there that we occasionally just reship out of there. Most of the time, we're just searching for wormholes within like a certain radius of the target that we can burn there quick enough to get to the fight without taking too much time out of our own guy's schedule.
Right on.
So what sort of... Go ahead.
What sort of fights are you getting up there in Black Rise with the new residents? I know you mentioned RVB, who are a recent addition to LoSec.
I think they've been living out of Nen for a while, but a lot of the fights recently have been over things like Citadels and Vlil, which there was a, I want to say, decent-sized fight where Wangs were trying to kill the RVB Citadels, and a lot of other alliances, such as, I think, Spectre Fleet or some Bombersberg group showed up. Trigger Happy showed up there as well with Nightmare Fleet. There's an alliance, I don't recall the name, but they brought a Shield Arty Mac Fleet, so it's a bit of a brawl there. There was a fight in Marto that we had versus Penis Out, where it was, I think, like a 120 bill capital brawl over in Ashtar House that we had there.
Yeah, so all the... Go ahead, Silver.
I was going to ask, what's the political climate looking like there now? So you mentioned Red vs. Blue. They recently joined the Kaldari Militia, right? And Templus Calcif is still in Kaldari Militia. So it makes sense for you guys to work with them against, you mentioned, like GMVA, who is Galente Militia, and Wang / Pen is Out, who are no longer part of Faction Warfare, but sort of help or assist GMVA typically, right, on the same side?
Yep.
And Pen is Out was the recipient of a lot of specifically U.S. time zone corps that were formerly Snuff, right?
Yeah, it's definitely bolstered the numbers quite a bit.
Yeah, and quite a bit of firepower. I saw the last fight, their super numbers have gone up, and even some Titans.
Yeah, the fight in Lattisthere.
I think this is a point we should really drive home, because it's new to me since I was gone, and some people who don't really follow LoSec that closely may be unaware, but Snuffed Out, the group who very much dominated LoSec in 2019, they disbanded. I'm not exactly sure. Silver, do you have any details on why, how, to what extent they disbanded?
I think it was just high in Tau, sort of burning out a little bit, right? Maybe wanting to, you know, go a little bit casual. I know High stated he wanted to stay in LoSec and kind of do some more casual stuff. I don't actually know if that's happened. Have you seen him around Spartan at all?
I occasionally see them on the kill board with the Corp Low Life, but not nearly as much as you used to.
Yeah, I just think it was leadership that wanted to step back a little bit and take a more casual approach to EVE for a while. So they sort of splintered off and went various ways. I see a lot of them flying with, you know, Volta. I saw a bunch of them flying with Trigger Happy the other day. So they've meandered about.
It was interesting. I think it was like a few weeks ago, Low Life rejoined Snuff, but I think they left it recently again, so...
Yeah, you know what? I did see that, and I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah, I was wondering if they were going to rebuild there, but I guess not.
Right, so you get this like mix of LoSec like politics going on. You maybe got like a power vacuum here with Snuff gone. You know, Pen is Out picked up a little bit of that and has been throwing their weight around a little bit.
Yeah, it's hard to say because Rapid is still really strong in that area, and they definitely have cap superiority compared to the other local alliances, which makes it difficult for any of them to really do anything.
Curious. So you mentioned we've got sort of the Kaldari side and the Galente side, but then there are also a bunch of other groups that you mentioned there. Trigger Happy jumped out at me as a name that I don't think had any ties specifically to one militia or another. Are they just coming in as proper third parties, or has there been like some sort of coalition line drawn down the map, so to speak?
I wonder if that is like a coalition thing. I think it depends on the day and whether somebody tries to bat phone a group like Trigger Happy, or if they just hear of the fight themselves and decide they want to come down for a fight.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it's been going lately, right? Like the fight seems to be escalated. Both sides are sort of bat phone a couple of guys. You know, we've gone down to fly with Spartan and Wrecking Crew, and we really do enjoy that. And they always get into some good fights. Generally, it's been good fights. It was only the recent one down in Lattisthere, but I think people are just excited for the content that's going on down there.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a lot of activity up there at the moment.
What's the moon situation like? I know it was a storyline we were following back in 2019, where Snuff had gone around and effectively taken all of the worthwhile moons and destroyed any Athnors that were up and placed down their own when they cared to. Is that a mantle which has been picked up by our draw? Are groups able to sort of bolster their income by setting up their own moon mining operations? What's the deal?
I'm not entirely sure since we don't live up there anymore, but from what I can tell, most of that has just transferred over to Wang's control.
Yeah, I could confirm that. And I do know that Wang's has been sort of pushing around a little bit of the smaller groups. I think Gateron Robotics is under a little bit of pressure to either pay rent or give up control of their moons by Penazout. So I think they're trying to, you know, assert a little bit of dominance over that.
Interesting. Is there more to discuss with the fighting going on up in Black Rise, or should we transition a bit down to closer to home, or closer to Spartan's home at least, in Derelict and Providence?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've covered that. Wrecking Crew's adventures in Pravi and in that area are equally as hot, I think. Maybe more in the EU time zone, though, Spartan?
Yeah, it depends. Since all of their timers are set to EU, it makes it sometimes difficult to fight. But recently, they've been fighting us a bit more in the US time zone, trying to take back control of systems like VKI that we took from them during the end of Blackout in that time period.
Oh, wow.
I think it's just a few days ago that we've had a couple of cap fights recently, I want to say.
Yeah, so like the last time we checked in with you, you sort of had, maybe not in the EU time zone, but in the US time zone, sort of cap superiority over Pravi, right? Pravi may have outnumbered you a bit, but the cap superiority seemed to be in Wrecking Crew's favor. Is that still the case, or are they like throwing more caps now? Like, it seems like they've escalated a little bit.
Yeah, in the US time zone, their dread and triage numbers are comparable to ours now. I want to say they've definitely grown a bit more in the last month or two.
So the last battle report that I saw had, if I remember right, like 47 billion or something capitals plus a Mercurial fleet died on the side of Pravi. And then there was like 7 bill or something like that lost on the side of Wrecking Crew, but you guys had basically just dropped supers on them in order to win. Is that a thing that happens regularly down in Pravi where you can't necessarily match them in cap numbers, but you can outmatch them by willingness to use supers?
Not really. Like, I think that's the first time we dropped supers on them in months. But yeah, for that one, it was more of a, we saw their numbers that day, which were a lot higher than they usually were, which I think was because a lot of the EU guys stayed up. And between me and Sadao, we decided we would drop supers on them for that fight. So set it up with a little bit of bait, putting some hard dreads and a couple triage down in front of them. And then just fought their MAC fleet while waiting for them to light the sign up for their dreads.
Well, that's an interesting transition because you mentioned Sadao. Sadao's a new addition to Wrecking Crew coming over from Test. People may know him as... He did Sky Marshal the latter half of the Legacy Winter Co. War and kind of brought that home across the finish line. And a well-known FC led the DKS SIG. Like, so pretty built quite a name for himself the last year and recently decided to go over Wrecking Crew. How's that been with Seto?
It's been good. It's definitely nice to have another voice that definitely knows what they're doing. Makes it a lot easier to split the load on like calling targets for capitals and stuff like that when you have somebody else to back you up with that.
Yeah, he has quite a bit of capital combat experience, like large scale. So he'd be the guy I'd be comfortable with, like making the call to put supers on grid, for example. Did he lead to a little bit of confidence that you needed to put them on grid and use them, or?
It was both of us just talking. Decided that would be the best idea for this one.
Cooperation is nice.
Let him take control of handling all the cyanos for the secrets and everything. So it made it much easier.
Yeah. So So right now you're pretty much dealing with, in that region at least, Pravi trying to reclaim some of the systems you took. Fed Up had been up there on a deployment a couple of months ago, or a couple of weeks ago rather, and we had to sort of back out because of the Tickle. The Alliance Tickle had left the Legacy Coalition to strike out on their own. Have you seen them around? Because they sort of proclaimed that they were going to move into Pravi space and sort of remove them and then attack Legacy from there, or farm Legacy from there, was sort of their intent. I actually haven't seen much of them in action in Pravi space, although they live like in there somewhere. Like, have they been around? Like, what have you seen from them? I know they're kind of off time zone from you, too.
Yeah, I think that's the main issue, is that they're just off time zone from when most of the content is. So.
Yeah, they're pretty much like AU focused, right?
Yeah, which makes it very hard for them in this region.
And actually, looking at their kill board, they've had a lot of activity in LoSac recently. Maybe that's just people roaming around doing the typical LoSac PvP thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's hard to say because, again, they're on the opposite side of the world from me.
Yeah, I was wondering if there would be some sort of collaboration with Wrecking Crew in the fight against Pravi. But I guess they really were struggling with how to participate in the off time zone.
Well, there's that, and also if they wanted to hit catch, would Wrecking Crew currently hold a couple of constellations up in the northeast of Providence? Does that have good jump range into catch if Tickle was planning on farming catch?
Not really. I don't think we even really let people stage out of there to do things like that. So
you would not only be off time zone, but also be focusing on likely completely different areas of space.
Yeah, the jump map is also weird. I think we can hit catch from Derelict a bit easier than we can from Pravi, at least the part of Pravi that we're in.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Let's quickly touch on Derelict a little bit, since we are sort of kicking off a series of shows on LoSac in 2020. Let's talk about what's the living situation like over in Derelict. I'm a member of Wrecking Crew, but I don't really do many Wrecking Crew fleets. You know, we do our contracts and stuff, and our members go to the fleets when we can, because they're fun fleets. But I have not had the opportunity in a while. So, like, what's the living situation like? What's the content like outside of Providence? Like, does stuff happen in Derelict, or is it pretty much just a wasteland? What's it like?
Unfortunately, Derelict's more or less just a wasteland. So occasionally, people try to travel through it, but you don't really see fleets there or fights there. A lot more ganking than anything else. More interesting regions are all the ones around it.
I am fairly certain that Wrecking Crew owns and uses all of the, or at least the majority of the valuable money moons in Derelict. But don't quote me on that, because I haven't looked in months.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we own anything worth anything in the area.
Are you still like holding down the jump choke points like Podion and doing that kind of stuff still? Or because that's what Wrecking Crew is sort of famously known for in our parts, right? Like, stay away from Podion. We'll be jumping jump freighters or supers to bait Fortizars and stuff like that.
Yeah, we still have people always looking for targets and various systems in Derelict.
Like, have people learned their lesson, or do you still get good kills over there?
We still get good kills. I don't think people will ever learn the lessons on that one.
There will always be dumb super capital pilots. I think that is just a fact of EVE Online.
Plus, I wonder if it gets worse now that the Sino changes, right? Now they got to walk like an expensive Sino ship over there to move their super or capital.
Well, the same thing goes for the Hunter side too, right? Now they can't just warp in their hyperspatial hick and light the Sino on that. They've got to send in the hyperspatial hick and a hyperspatial combat recon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely made it more difficult in that regard.
So what's going on? So what's the outlook look like for Wrecking Crew? What's the goal this year? You know, what are we looking to accomplish in Pravi? Are you looking to just hold your space, maybe continue to farm it for fights, or maybe take more territory? Or like, what's the plan? Like, now you got some fresh blood and you're growing a little bit, right?
Yeah, we're mostly looking to hold what we have. It's hard to take anything from Pravi again because it's all EU. But other than that, most of why we're there is just for the content.
Right on. And how about, like, Templus Calcif in particular, you guys are members of Wrecking Crew, but you live in Derelict. You're historically a Faction Warfare alliance. You still, like, hop around in Losec. Specifically now, you're up in Blackrise. What are you feeling is going to be happening in Losec in 2020? We've mentioned that stuff is gone. Our draw is looking to sort of fill that power vacuum, but simply due to the fact of the numbers being so diminished from what it was with both Snuff and our draw combined, they're not going to be able to exert their power over all of Losec like Snuff used to. Plus, you have massive name FCs like Hiwanto and Tau AD, who just aren't there providing content anymore. So do you think, like, what's your outlook at Losec in general for 2020? Let's say overall, and then maybe split it up in, like, Faction Warfare and non-Faction Warfare Losec, if you can.
I want to say probably Wangs will still be the dominant Losec power up in the Blackrise area, at least, and Placid and all that. I think Dockwickers and I want to say Siege Green, when they're down there, will both be the major powers in the southern half of Losec. So Bleak Lands, Heimaterra, that area.
Yeah, Dockworkers is interesting because did he say Jump joined Dockworkers recently, didn't they? As a core.
What is Dockworkers? This is a new name to me.
Yeah, it's did he say Jump's Alliance? I'm pretty sure they made it. And it has the corporation, I'm drawing a blank on their name. It's SASH is the ticker, I think. Sanctuary of Shadows, something like that. So they're very decently sized. So, and they've got a big capital wing.
Yeah, we saw them down in Lady Star, sort of fighting on the side of Wangs. But they were fairly big.
Yeah, I think they were parodying on that fight, but
okay.
Yeah, third partying.
Third partying. But yeah, no, it's a new development on the other side.
There is definitely some, like, side talk going on with your tones right now, and I feel left out. What is the deal with third partying and did he say Jump? I'm confused.
I think they shadow side a lot more. Yeah. Wanks.
It was one of those, like, yeah, we're here just to third party, but I didn't see them really shooting much of our draw.
Can't really blame them, though, considering how that fight went.
No. It's just I'm poking a little bit of fun. I mean, it was a pretty one-sided fight with the amount of power that Ardra was able to throw. But yeah, I mean, I'm interested in Dockworkers on the other side of the map. Where do you know where they live? Because I don't.
Yeah, they live in Quimonin.
Right.
So it's right next to Camilla and Huola.
So you kind of got them and, like, Siege Green over there now. Are there any other, like, entities out there now? Like,
nah, there's the Mimitan Militia guys, but I'm going to be honest, I don't know a lot about them because a lot of them are EU.
Yeah, we had the Ushercon guys on a couple weeks ago before the new year. Since this is our show, first show of the new year, sort of talking about how that treaty had ended and stuff. And yeah, faction warfare, at least in that war zone, not the healthiest. Maybe a little more healthy in the Galmil war zone with RVB joining Calmil and sort of stoking the fire a little bit, right? They've been poking at GMVA pretty good. I saw them attack the GMVA, some Sov holdings and Cloud Ring. I saw them go after that. So there's been some decent warfare action there.
Looking at the Siege Green on Dotland, correct me if I'm wrong, but I used to be under the impression they had a significant Korean player base in Siege Green, yeah?
Yeah, they're almost entirely Korean as far as I know.
I'm kind of surprised looking back at their numbers from, like, May until now. It seems that they haven't really grown much, which I was expecting them to grow sort of significantly given the localization to the language that Eve took. I think in this fall or winter?
They actually did grow quite a bit. So did our Korean time zone in the Alliance TSC. I don't think they have them in the main Siege Green Alliance, but I think they have, like, a sister alliance type thing where a lot of all the newer players went.
Okay.
It was, like, right after the localization, they had a fleet of, like, 200 Merlins and, like, 60 Bantams and stuff like that. It was crazy.
That's what you love to see.
I know, yeah.
That's where you want to have a smart bombing mock fleet.
Evil.
Yeah, give them a year and they'll be in battleships and everything. Capitals.
We like the army of mangoes and fraternity all over again.
Yep. Yeah, I was quite impressed with those numbers.
Yeah, I think it was scary for a lot of people. I wonder how people who typically like time their things AU, hoping that it remains quiet, are not opening themselves up as targets later as they grow.
Well, that, and especially now that the Citadel changes came through from Team Talos, where you can't choose the day as the defender of a Citadel anymore. You can only choose the time, and then it flexes 3 hours instead of two. So even if you set your thing to AUTZ, somebody could hit it such that it comes out on a weekend, and so they could like alarm clock, or they could just hit it and hope that they get lucky and have plus or minus 3 hours into someone else's prime time. So I feel like, theoretically at least, from my looking at the changes, I feel like time zone tanking by sticking stuff in AUTZ is nowhere near as strong as it used to be.
Yeah, it definitely took a hit. Speaking of Citadels, I wanted to ask you, Spartan, they made a slight change to the way Citadels work in the Faction Warfare Zone, where the opposing faction can't tether on Citadels in the system of the other. Like if Calmel owned a system, Galente Militia can't tether on Citadels in that system. What do you think about that change? Is that a step in the right direction? Could it lead to more stuff?
Yeah, I think it's a step in the right direction. Though if it still lets them dock there, then it's pointless, in my opinion.
Right. I feel like, though, that at least that change opens the coding, or at least the realm of dev possibility that they can go in that direction. I feel like they're sort of like testing the waters. Like, what does this break if I don't let people tether, right? And then the logical next step. And that's what I kind of like about Talos, is that it's been very iterative, right? And as long as they keep doing that iterative piece, that it could be a very healthy push in the right direction. Do you think if they keep going down that path, because classically that's been sort of the scapegoat of why faction warfare is suffering so bad, but you think if they keep going down that path and it winds up that you can't dock in Citadels, any Citadel owned by the opposite militia, or in the system owned by an opposite militia, you think that would fix a lot of things?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a step in the right direction. I think more needs to be done, though, because the same problem is still there.
Do we know what the theme is for the Q1 of 2020? If memory serves, at Vegas, they said that they were going to be doing like themes for the various quarters, and then Talos was going to be doing like 2 week themes. I can understand maybe not hearing about Talos's theme yet, but looking at Eve updates, I don't see an overall like Eve release theme for Q1 2020. Anybody know anything?
No, I think I just read about the quarters, not themes. Or maybe I missed it.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Looking at other things I've missed, looks like there's been some updates to Invasions content. I know just before I left, there was Invasions reaching LoSec and starting to even reach NullSec. Has that sort of expanded in any capacity? Does that affect you guys at all that you've seen, Spartan?
It doesn't really affect us. We have those incursions and derelict a lot, but
yeah, I see the invasions in NullSec, yeah. I haven't seen anything in NullSec related, though. I haven't seen them anywhere near there yet.
All right. Is there anything else that we have failed to mention regarding like Templar's Council, if your guys' exploits and hopes for LoSec in 2020? I feel like we've sort of gone across the board with everything you guys are up to right now, unless you're willing to share like some deployment plans that you want to do. That'd be cool, but no pressure.
Nah, nothing from my end. Nothing I can share, at least.
Ooh, all right, fair enough.
I like it.
Well, how about you, Silver? Mr. Exo of Federation Uprising, another former Faction Warfare group. Any plans for LoSec in 2020 on your end?
Not in the immediate future, to be honest. We've spent the last better half of last year trying to shake off our LoSec / Faction Warfare sort of skin. So we're just trying to fit into our new role as a solid NullSec alliance, you know, in a big colo, trying to find our way, trying to keep our identity. So I don't I don't know that we'll be playing around in low sec very much. I am happy to come with Wrecking Crew when they have content in low sec, though. Our guys like flying with Spartan very much. He's been a good friend to us. Had the pleasure of meeting him in Texas. And, you know, of course, everyone in my alliance loves Sedal because we flew under him quite often. So if we get the call, we'll definitely show up. But as far as major operations in low sec, probably not.
Can we take a minute to hit on something I realized we missed? Is like the trend of groups that we saw last year, of groups being like they were faction warfare organizations, but content was drying up or money was drying up or what have you. And so they started dipping their toes into the water of Sov warfare. I know Federation Uprising did this. We had, was it Galmill also did it over in Cloud Ring and Pure Blind especially? No, specifically Cloud Ring. Are we seeing that anywhere else now? Like Calcif technically sort of kind of does it because you guys are part of Wrecking Crew, which has space in Pravi, but do you really use that to support your endeavors in LoSec? Or do we see this sort of trend, which was definitely the hot thing to do back in 2019? Is that continuing into 2020?
I don't think it is. I think the bigger alliances that could make their way out to LoSec did already. And the ones that left don't really have the numbers to really take space or things like that.
Yeah.
Cloud Ring for Galmo at least was just, it was convenient because it's right there, but.
Yeah. And even I flew through Cloud Ring a little while ago. That space looks a bit fallow. I think GMVA has some space on the southern part of Cloud Ring, which they do some ratting and stuff in. But as far as the Pen is out territory in the northern half of Cloud Ring, ADMs are super low. I don't see much going on there. So, yeah, I would think that trend, like Spartan said, has sort of ended. The groups that wanted to do it have firmly planted themselves out into Nullsec. You know, there's a lot of groups that moved into the Tribute region when that was glassed by goons. But I don't really see anybody doing the whole hybrid thing much anymore.
Right on. All right. Well, I guess, shall we move on to a little bit of news happening in and around New Eden? A bit of an editor's note, so to speak, where we've been looking at what we're doing with the midweek show and sort of how we're bringing you content and news and stuff like that. And at the inception of the midweek show, it was definitely born out of there was sort of too much stuff going on in Eve at the time. We had major war after major war after major war. And it felt like there was too much to talk about in terms of news. And TIS was definitely trying to report everything we possibly could. But now, looking at the landscape of EVE news reporting, so to speak, it seems like a lot of other outlets have definitely stepped up their game. EVE News 24, for example, I think just underwent a redo. I know like the Meta Show and stuff is definitely trying to up their production value under their new leadership and talent, so to speak. And other outlets, even shoot like Reddit, seems to be the place where people literally make alliance-wide announcements now. Looking at you, Villy. So we're going to focus a bit less on trying to bring you all of the news. If you're interested in that, definitely check out our Discord, the Talking Stations Discord. We always have links to where news is happening there. But instead of taking up showtime with trying to touch and say every little bit of news that has happened, instead, we're just going to focus on what we think is important or what the hosts and the guests sort of want to talk about. And this week, at least, the two things that jumped out at me were both related to CCP. The first is, I'm unfamiliar with the specifics of the situation, but apparently there is some really severe wildfires happening down in Australia right now, which are causing some serious devastation. And it looks like CCP is intending to launch a new Plex for Good campaign. As far as I can tell, it has not been launched yet, but the official EVE Online Twitter did tweet out that they were going to be running that. If you, I think, was the last one, the Philippines? What was the most recent Plex for Good? It was a while ago now.
Yeah.
So for anyone unfamiliar, the way this works is essentially you can take Plex in-game that you either buy off the market or buy from CCP themselves, take it into game, and then you can send it to a character, if memory serves, and then CCP will take all of that Plex, round it up, and that value will be converted over into real money, and CCP will then make a donation to the relief efforts in Australia. And so it is basically just a way for you to take your real life money, put in a game and then have CCP make a donation that way, or maybe you're space rich and you want to help out Australia. Definitely, at the very least, a way to show support and camaraderie with, I know we have a lot of players in Australia who are probably not particularly happy right now. So that's definitely something to keep your eyes out. It has been announced. It is coming soon, TM. Hopefully it comes out sooner rather than later, because fires are burning right now. I know I, for one, am very glad to see this coming back, especially with CCP Convict, the newest member of the community team, being from... Is he a New Zealander? Is he from Australia? Shoot, I should know this.
Yeah, you know, you got me there. I don't know.
Now I feel bad. I'm so sorry. All right.
But it is a fantastic campaign. It did really well last time, so...
Unless, like, serious real-world news, we have some interesting developments happening around the Singularity server. There's been a lot of discussion on this. I think some of it misguided. The official statement is that Singularity is closed for public testing. That was the title of the forum post made by CCP Dopening. For those unfamiliar, he's the one who manages the CSM right now. And they specifically said that Singularity has been put in VIP mode for internal testing purposes. And they'll let everyone know when it's made publicly available again. So this is a significant change. I think some people are overblowing it. They're like feeling like this change is taking CC away from the player base. Like this was an asset that the player base had. CCP is permanently taking it away. That's not what's being said here. The way it's worded is explicitly they're using it for internal testing right now, which, to be fair, it is CCP's testing server. Historically, they've used like Duality for internal testing, or maybe some other internal testing servers. Now if they want to use CC, like, that's totally up to them. But definitely this was used quite a bit as a resource for players. I know Noir in particular, as well as a bunch of other like groups who have training organizations, if you wanted to run classes, you would head on to Singularity and say, okay, everything is 100 ISK. Everybody fit out your ships, we'll go and we'll fight, and it doesn't matter if you die while you're learning, because it's CC. Nothing matters. There's a bit of finagling going on there with as far as mirrors and stuff and when characters were created, but generally it was an extremely valuable resource for that. Specifically looking at if the Alliance tournament is ever coming back, how that's going to manage if there's no CC to practice on. Specifically if there's no Thunderdome to practice on. Looking at a lot of players use Hobo Leaks to look at upcoming changes to EVE, and I know some developers and marketers at CCP may not be happy with that, but it was definitely a thing that a lot of people looked forward to. That's gone now. So it's a significant change, but I don't think it's like a world-ending change, which seems to be the consensus on the Evo forums. What do you guys think?
I echo that. I mean, we just ran an internal like legacy tournament on the test server, and it's a lot of fun, and people really enjoyed it. And like you said, it's not just for training, but, you know, bonding and, you know, practicing and theory crafting and all that stuff went on in CC. So I know a lot of people are a bit concerned.
Spartan, did your group ever do the whole, like, we're going to have training sessions for our Capital Pilots or whatever on Singularity? I know some groups did. Did you?
I don't think so. I think some individuals have gone on to test things, but I don't remember any, like, group-wide Singularity testing.
Right on.
Well, Spartan certainly helped us fed up train for our tournament, being that he's an AT pilot and has some knowledge. So we did a lot of work on CC.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So I've missed the tournament play.
It occurs to me that like no player run tournaments can really work now anymore, because everybody did that on CC. But now, yep. If you want to do a player-run tournament, it's got to be on TQ. Who's going to foot the bill? Like, you can't have any sort of modicum of privacy. That's...
Yeah, I mean, if you run it...
Right. Nobody...
Yeah,
nobody would do that.
No, there's way too many pitfalls there. So yeah, looks like, we're hoping that it comes back soon.
We had a question in Twitch chat that I think is worth mentioning. The question was if there's any word on faction warfare changes. And the response... seems to be that not that we know of in Q1 of 2020, but the CSM has been specifically asking for feedback on stuff in the Faction Warfare Committee Discord. So if you're a Faction Warfare pilot or someone with interests in the LoSec area or Faction Warfare in general, go ahead and check out the Discord and give your feedback to the CSM. Like, no matter who you are or who you fly with or what area of space you're in, give feedback to the CSM. That's like kind of their job. So help them out. All right. Looking at our show notes here, we got no other news. When I left, we had this little segment that I quite enjoyed that was called Something You Might Not Know, but it seems to be missing. Have we phased that out? Is it gone now? I should have asked before we started the show.
Yeah, we sort of phased that out, and we're looking for
That is frankly unacceptable, Silver. It's coming back.
Hey.
It's happening. I'm putting everyone on the spot because I don't even have something you might not know in my head. So let's try and think of something in the next 5 seconds. Something you might not know about EVE Online. Or related genre type stuff. I know. So over the break, I sort of got an itch for EVE, but I was trying to stay away. And so as a compromise, I was going to read up on some EVE lore. And I reached out to Ashtaroth and I said, hey, what is the best sort of chronicle? The chronicles are sort of the EVE lore, like miniature books, essentially, short stories, what have you, related to EVE Online, like the Empire factions, the Pirate factions, all that jazz. And I said, what's the best one to read if you've never read a chronicle before? And he recommended now I gotta remember what it's called. Hang on 2 seconds. Try and guess.
The Empyrean Age.
That is a good guess. And that would be incorrect. He recommended Inheritance. Which I don't think it's a spoiler to say that it had to do with like the Amar Empire and with the Jove. As well as some other stuff. Definitely in the era, if you're familiar with the lore, like Empress Jamil, whatever, I don't even know. Words are hard and names are confusing in the Amar lineage. But it was definitely a good read. Like, I was expecting some pretty dense stuff with the way people have talked about the lore in the past, but nah, it's just an interesting story and one that I would recommend you go check out. Something you may not know. The best, according to which I would tend to agree, having read it now, the best lore to jump into, the best chronicle, Inheritance. All right, Silver, you've had your 30 seconds now to come up with something. What's something our audience might not know about EVE Online?
Oh, boy. Something you may not know, I guess I'll talk about because one of my favorite things to happen in EVE in recent memory are these filaments, these Nullsec filaments that you got during your 13 days of EVE. You may not know that they have done a great deal to increase activity in space. People undock in generally disposable ships because it's sort of a one-way trip, right? You're going to form a fleet of up to 25. You're going to light this filament and be transported somewhere in Nullsec and hopefully go fight and die. This has been wonderful for content. People come out in bite-sized groups. They come out in engageable ships. And there's just been fighting all over the place. So if you're wondering how to increase daily activity, this was a great step, and I hope that CCP sort of sees that and comes up with some way to keep them in the game. Maybe not, you know, permanently available, but more of these types of events. It's been great.
No, make the Yeet fleets permanent. Like I have
my vote would be to put them in the game permanently. Absolutely, but I know some people don't really love it.
What?
Yeah, what's I've heard problem? Things like you know so. One of the things the filaments allow you to do is escape pretty easily. So like if you go in with an Apex fleet and a bunch of people carry filaments and you get camped into a system, now you can just wait out your timers and then yeet out, right? I've seen that happen a bunch of times and that's sort of annoying. But in general, I love them. I think they should stay.
Okay, I get that. Maybe like make it so you can't use more than one filament in a single fleet. That way, if they do want to do the whole escape thing, they've got to sort of disband their fleet and form a bunch of small ones. It puts a sort of organizational barrier to entry there to stop that. Just my back of the napkin, 2 cents feedback there. But on your note about increasing activity, I have seen like a significant amount of ping spam, so to speak, coming from both within Noir and within Wrecking Crew of people saying, yo, Yeet Fleet 0100, it's happening, bring your drakes. Oh, yeah. And so... like, that is something that I definitely want to, when I get the chance, participate in. But I'm at the very least just happy to see it occurring. Like, not only is this an awesome thing for pilots to enjoy content, this is an awesome thing for maybe newer FCs. Like, if you wanted FC before, grab a filament. Boom, there you go. You don't have to know the area of space you're going to because you don't know what area of space you're going to. There isn't the informational barrier to entry there. Just freaking go. Grab some T1 battleships, battle cruisers rather. Shoot, even battleships. They're faster warping now, and you don't have to do the 50 jumps to get to where you're going.
Yeah, battleships are very popular because you're right. You don't have to travel. And I've seen a lot of soloists using the smaller ones, and like it's even great when you're sitting in your Nullsec board and like wondering what to do, and then whoa, Geat Fleet, you know, it's just I've loved it. I've enjoyed every aspect of it.
Spartan, have you used them personally? How about with Calcif? Is it a thing among your group?
Yeah, we've had a couple fleets over the last week or two where people were doing that. It's definitely nice with small gang. Just bring whatever you want.
Yeah, I like that because people will engage you when you're just in like your whatever ships. You're not posing like a serious threat to anyone, so people will just come out and engage you. I see a lot less tendency to like throw the book at you, at least right away. Like some of my best Yeet fleets have been the Delph, because if you Yeet in with some like retributions and stuff, like they'll come and throw crap at you for a while until they get mad. And then you get the supers. But like the experience I've had is you're a lot less of a threat to people. So you could just engage and fight.
All right, Spartan, yeah, it's your turn to be put on the spot.
Oof.
What's something our audience might not know about EVE Online?
I've been trying to think of something since you said that, and I have no idea.
Give us some like history of Calcif that people might not know. Tell us about your group. Tell us about yourself.
I guess myself started the game back in 2010 and ended up flying with NC Dot for a while because somebody I met in Losec went there. So,
really?
See, I did not know that about you. I thought you were
like a faction warfare baby.
Nope, I was in NC Dot up until a little after the BTAC air fight, and I just got really bored with Nullsec and started playing in Faction Warfare a lot more.
Awesome. All right, well, there you go. That's something you might not know about EVE Online. Three somethings, in fact, and a bit of a discussion surrounding them. Unless we've got any last things that you guys want to get in, we do have an announcement for next week. Silver confirmed this announcement is happening. Why don't you go ahead and take it away?
Oh, boy. Announcement?
Yeah. It's in the show notes. Is this correct still? Question mark?
Let me take the show notes.
All right. Well, in the meantime, I'm going to do some plugging.
That is true.
Okay. Go for it, Silver.
We're going to get a member of Hobos. So we spoke about them a little bit before, Bums Alliance, on to talk about. They were at the Lattice Star fight. So we're going to talk to them about sort of the same things. What they see is happening in Losec and what they see as potential content.
Yeah, so look forward to next week. We're continuing our series on what does Losec look like in 2020. We're going to have Hobos, who I'm completely unfamiliar with, so it's going to be fun for me at the very least. And hopefully if you're familiar with them, you'll enjoy it. And if you're unfamiliar, you'll definitely learn something. So we'll get to talk to them next week. I also have some like shilling and housekeeping to do. So Talking in Stations is recruiting both like tech people and creatives and just knowledgeable people about EVE Online. If you know the news, if you know how to communicate the news, or if you know how to like do techie stuff, talk to us. We'd love to talk to you. Also, we have a Patreon that is used to pay the bills. We have a website, keep the Discord running, pay for all like software and hardware upgrades that we do to keep these shows as high quality as we possibly can. We're constantly improving and updating our processes. So definitely, if you're interested in supporting there, it's completely optional. It is entirely voluntary subscription service is, I believe, the way Patreon puts it, and we definitely adhere to that. But if you'd like to keep the ads down on Twitch and YouTube and all that jazz and support your favorite podcast or one of your favorites, I'd hope, then head on over to Patreon. And I suppose that is it for this week's episode of Talking Stations. You can tune in next Wednesday. We'll be here to talk more about Losec in 2020. We'll also have a show this coming Sunday at 1600 UTC, I hope. It's been too long. Silver, help. Is the show still at the normal time?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Fantastic. Spartan, do you have like a stream that you do, or is it just Calcif recruiting? How's that work?
We don't have a stream, but Calcif is always recruiting.
Excellent. Looking for some good pilots over there. In any case, that'll do it. See you guys next time.